Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So we were talking about this idea of these scientists are not wanting, of course, to label it as such, but they're describing exactly what we see in the Bible from what they are discovering. Of course, there's a great deal of vanity in some of them. Some of them are just have a real desire to know. And that's the interesting thing about God's kingdom is it knows no bounds. And the description of what they talk about in creation, where there is these parallel dimensions and that somehow or other some things are popping between one dimension and another dimension. And they can see it going back and forth. And they say that it's like tied with a string. And of course, other people talk about, you know, silver threads and all this kind of stuff. And the people who delve in areas they probably should not be delving in, and they don't know what they're doing. You have to realize that everything that is in heaven is also has a counterpart in hell. Everything in prophecy comes to us in several different layers. We've talked before about how authors of books and movies, especially that we see today, are actually foretelling the future. They're telling certain precepts. It's as if these authors have received dreams or messages, and then they write these stories and they make these movies, and they have a relationship to the real world in which we exist and live. And even in prophetically prophesying the future, and they don't know they're doing it. It's like they get glimpses of truth and reality and what's really going on. And they don't really understand all of what it is, but they, because they have creative minds, they end up drawing these pictures and write these stories and they make these movies. And these movies are actually telling us what's going on. Unfortunately, most people get lost in the special effects and they don't understand. Because the reality is that you're not going to find the truth by watching a movie or reading a book. You can't hold on to the truth. You know, one of the things that they've discovered in looking at science is that an atom is mostly space. Most of what we see as an atom, if you could see an atom, is empty space, or at least what they thought was empty space. Actually, with string theory now, there may be lots of things in there, but it's just not in our space. It's in the parallel spaces. And of course, that would make absolute sense, since you would have these parallel universes that where you actually exist partly. You know, if there is a parallel universe and you have a spirit, and that spirit dwells in you in the universe in which we now exist, does that spirit also dwell in the other dimension? These other parallel dimensions, because it can actually dwell in both places. And it could dwell in the side of heaven and be connected to the heavens, to God's realm, to God's what they call membrane in the M theory, which we talked about before. And or is it connected to the other dimension, which we call hell, this lower dimension, where vibration and frequency is lower? Now, in our dimension, we've talked about this also in the past, that, you know, light has a tendency to follow the DNA strand, that it actually will follow that pattern. And then, of course, like, we've also talked about how water has a memory. Because the molecules in water are constantly in motion, they can actually pick up a memory based on the other chemicals that are in the water or the materials surrounding the water, etc. And the water can pick up a memory of its contact with these other materials. Well, the same is your DNA, and you're 75-80% water. So your DNA is actually putting a marker in your food in your body. Oh, actually, why I said food is I was just thinking just the other day of, we were talking about blessing a meal before you eat it. And I said, well, it will be blessed after we eat it. In other words, the frequency of our own body and the spirit that dwells in our body that regulates to a great deal that frequency begins to engram itself into whatever food we eat. And it is blessed by that. But if you've fallen completely to your physical existence and you worship food, for instance, that food and whatever is in that food will have more harm to you. This is why they talk about poisons not poisoning the apostles, you know, where he could supposed to be bit by a snake and it wouldn't poison him because he literally altered, the spirit in him was strong enough that it altered the poison. There's actually a trick that they use down in South America that, and if you get bit by certain snakes, it doesn't work with all the snakes, but certain snakes, they will actually take spark plug wires off of their boat or motor or an engine motor, and they will zap you with, you know, turn the ignition over and zap you with the electrical shock of that. And supposedly that neutralizes the poison. And some have suggested that, you know, this is one way to neutralize the poison is to run this electrical current through it. Well, your body is running electrical current all the time. And what most of these poisons are is they're digestive enzymes that begin to digest and react in your body. And if you can alter those enzymes, the poison will become neutralized. But anyway, back to this idea of these other dimensions of heaven and hell being parallel dimensions to the earth that we are in. We want to be connected to the heavenly dimensions. And as I was saying before, when you read Daniel, let's see, where was that quote? It was in Daniel 10, wasn't it? 12, verse 12 and 13, from the first day that you set your heart on understanding and on humbling yourself before your God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to your words. Jesus talks about this in his prodigal son parable. He's telling you a principle of the kingdom. That when the son repented and said he was going to go back to his father's house to be a servant in his father's house, when he decided he would do that, his father ran out and met him halfway. But he did have to start heading back too. And this is what you have to do, is you have to humble yourself and head back. So what does it look like to head back? And this is why we're talking about these things, like in Genesis 1:14, and God said, let there be light in the firmament in the heavens and to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. So God is allowing all this to take place because he originally created the firmament. And what they call firmament of the heavens, is that the membrane of the heavens in just a different term? As we talked in the previous show about this membrane theory that scientists have come up with, that, you know, that the universe is like a membrane and there's lots of different submembranes and different shapes of membranes and all this stuff. And it's part of that parallel universe that they're talking about all the time. Now in science, in their string theories and, you know, trying to find their unified theory of, that kind of answers all the questions for them. And the fact is all the answers are right there before us. If they would pull back the veil. what is this veil that they have to pull back so that we can see it? And one of the problems is there are more than one kind of veil. There's the natural veil that divides these, you know, heaven from earth and earth from hell. But there's also the veils that we put over our own eyes. We call them scales over our own eyes. And the intellect is very good at weaving those veils, where we create a system of belief by studying science, a system of belief by studying the Bible. We create it. We weave it with things that we accept as true. We decide this is true. This means this. This means that. We are deciding. And we deciding can look just like God's revelation to us if we haven't done what it said in Daniel 10, 12, and 13. Humble ourselves so that we have His understanding. Now, there's no way I can tell you about His understanding. You know, I can talk about it, I can beat around the bush about it, but I can't give it to you because it doesn't come from me to you. It comes from Him to you because the kingdom of heaven is within you. You must have your own divine revelation to get His understanding. I can talk about what I understand, but that's not going to give you understanding. And this is what, when we talked about this in the first show on this subject, we were pointing out that if you hold my words up as a source of your belief, which gurus have a tendency to want you to do, I don't want you to do that, then I can be a part of weaving a veil over your eyes so that you cannot receive that revelation. And even if God were to reveal it, you wouldn't see it because you would already have the pre-existing veil that you created with your own knowledge and information. Mostly, I am an iconoclast. I am tearing down the veils. I'm showing you that you are wound up in falsehoods and lies. And I am trying to expose those. And that kind of strips you down naked, and it kind of is humbling at times. But then you can cry out to the God who can give you understanding if you humble yourself. We don't want you to think you understand. We want you to know you don't understand, but God understands, and God can reveal to you what you need to know. In Isaiah 14:12, he says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? Art thou cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations?" Cut down to the ground which didst weaken the nations. The same thing that went on in him is going on in the nations because we are following after his pattern, because we are plugging into his realm, because we are doing things his way. I've often said that the devil doesn't care whether you fight against him or join him. Because if you fight against him on his terms, that's important, on his terms, then he's got you. You're compatible. Now, we do war against him, but we don't war against him on his terms. We turn towards God, and God, we put on his armor. In Matthew 24:31, it says, "And he shall send his angels with great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." You see, when you pull back that veil, we're not alone. We're not alone. And it is that army, that body, that gives us the strength to stand against whatever evil he would have. But we must prior love his ways. And that's why we come down to these moral issues of coveting your neighbor's goods. Are you building his kingdom in little ways? taking care of one another in faith, hope, and charity, by forming congregations of going on record that I'm going to take care of these people in this congregation and I'm going to be with them and strive to do right by them. I can't do right by the whole world. I can't save all the poor throughout the world. America is one of the greatest mission fields there are because we are poor in spirit. We have the potential of doing righteousness, but we have gone so far away from the ways of God that we have opened the door to evil in this world. And we see it in the public events of our time, in our elections, in our public offices, but also in our court systems, in our medicine. Evil is devouring us as a people, destroying us in our food production. We think, oh, GMOs is the problem. No, GMOs are the symptom of the problem. We think pesticides and herbicides in our food is the problem. No, that's a symptom of the problem. You think our poor diet, lack of minerals in our diet, because our food is produced by artificial fertilizers and poorly fertilized soil, and soil that has become depleted. That is a symptom of the problem. The politics that we see, the economy, the money system, those are symptoms of the problem. The problem is we have not humbled ourselves to understanding. And so therefore, all these things, public school and coveting your neighbor's goods and socialism, are coming about because we have not humbled ourselves to see. And we need to do that. In little ways, in real ways, where we are in the universe, on the street where we live, we must do this. We must speak. We must act. We must do the will of the Father. In little ways, in ways that would seem to make no difference whatsoever. What can I do? People say. Something. That's what you can do. Something. Give something. Be a part of something. Help somebody. Start moving in the direction of the kingdom. Edge your way there, and God will run out and meet you halfway. And you will begin to become connected to that other side. And God will eventually pull back that veil and show you the kingdom of heaven. And these veils are about to go through a great fluctuation. And you need to begin. You know, it's kind of like Moses. All those, you remember the movie where he says with Dathan, you know, all those who are of the Lord come over here, and they started running over to Moses. And Dathan got swallowed. It was actually a very inaccurate part of that movie, because that event in the golden calf didn't happen at the same time. Those are two different events. You know, the ground opening up. But, you know, Hollywood. But anyway, Isaiah 25:6, and in the mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wines, on the lees of fat things full of marrow, of wine on lees well refined, and he will destroy the mountain, the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will destroy that. You know, there's an old movie of things to come. Very old movie, 39, something like that. And they had this gas of peace that they were going to use. And it was these supposed scientists who had survived all these wars and everything hidden away. And they were bringing peace back to nations that were just absolutely destroyed. And they would drop the gas of peace and come in and fix everything. And the gas of peace didn't kill you. It just brought peace. But one man died rather than have peace. And of course, this is the reality, is that if we connect with God so that his strings are in us, and we have to do that on every aspect of his character, something will change. In 1 Kings 19:18, we see, yet I have left me 7,000 in Israel, all the knees which have not bowed unto Baal, and every mouth which hath not kissed him. Now, there are a lot of people trying to get out of the system, trying to be separate from the system, be apart from the system. They are not all going to the Lord. Some of them are just rebels amongst rebels. They are fighting with one another. You have to remember, everybody in hell is a rebel. Everybody in that dimension is a rebel. And they will draw to them other rebels. Jesus was not teaching us to rebel. He made Peter pay the tax because Peter said he did pay the tax. He said, "You said it, now go pay it." Make your yes is yes and your no is no. That's a character of God. He's also done something else that, he said to be friends with the unrighteous mammon, so that you'll be worthy of more righteous habitations. There are no rebels in the kingdom of God. There are the righteous, and those who sought righteousness, sought to pay their debts. They didn't seek to get out of their debts. Now, someone recently asked me about a process whereby you can challenge a bank, challenge a credit card company, and you can get them to back off. And I said, look, when somebody's drowning, you may be able to use such tools in helping them. You have to be very careful that we do not justify not keeping our word. Our policy is, to pay our debt. And if you have to pay it on time, then pay it on time. I mean, there's nothing just in the payments anyway, because we're all using these ridiculous Federal Reserve notes that have no value, but people want them anyway. I mean, the Federal Reserve says they have no value, right on their own website. And yet, that's what people want. And of course, you can't pay a debt with a note, but that's what they want. And you made agreements with these unbelievers and satisfied those beliefs. But turn around and go the other way. Seek the other way. Seek a righteous way. And you cannot do that unless you come together with others. Because it's not about saving yourself, it's about saving others. Christ came to save others. You have not kissed the feet of Christ until you come, like Christ, to save others. You join congregations not for what it can do for you, but for what you can do for others. Because that is what Christ did, and that is his nature. And when you become like Christ, you begin to connect to his realm, to his heavenly realm. And he will not forget you. In that day, he will not forget you. And he will eventually pull back the veil. But you've got to be acting. We show you how God works so that you can work that way too. And when you discover you're not working that way, you can do something about it. Every time you see you're selfish, you would not have seen that unless you were confronted with that selfishness. And in trying to come together with others, it will be required that you forgive one another, or you will not stay together. You'll find some reason, I'm not going to be, because they don't have right doctrine. I'm going to abandon them because they didn't see something the way I see it. I'm going to turn my back on them. That isn't Christ. Christ didn't turn his back on Peter. Christ didn't turn his back on any of his apostles. He let them run away from him. We should not be fleeing one another, but coming together with one another. And we're going to get all kinds of people who want to come together. And let God sort them out. Love them all and let God sort them out. If we read in Colossians, "For by him, God's beloved Son, all things were created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. Dominions. Would that be dimensions? All things have been created through him and for him. We need to understand that the universe is bigger than your eyeballs can see. We need to understand, whether you call it heaven or another dimension, that there are realms in which we can be connected, in which our life flows through as same as in this realm. And if we have the character of Christ, which is what it means to do things in his name, it doesn't mean use a certain word. It means to do things the way he would do them, in the spirit that he would do them. It will begin to connect you to that realm in which Michael can come to your aid. Whether it's Michael or whoever, I don't care what name you put on him. It's the spirit that we're talking about. Let us walk honestly, as in the days, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, his character, his way of service and sacrifice for one another. And then all this realm and dimensional things, they'll work themselves out and you'll find yourself on the right side of the veil. Make not provision for this flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Now, it doesn't say don't make provisions. It says to fulfill the lust thereof. Make provisions to save others and you will do more to save yourself. And nothing is more important than have a network of people who care about you as much as they care about themselves. This is the kingdom of God. You cannot create that network unless you go on record as congregations of record. Now, those congregations of record are not just based on paperwork, but upon relationships. But if that we know that the world loves to see paper. So you need to make a written testimony of the fact that I am with these people and these people are with me. And that is what a congregation of record is. And that congregation of records minister must network with other congregations, because your congregation must love other congregations as much as you love yourself. You see, these precepts are upon precepts, and this is the way in which you construct, edify, and establish the kingdom of heaven, by the witnesses of one another, for one another, in righteousness and in truth, as well as in spirit. And we'll be back to Keys of the Kingdom. Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So we were talking for the last couple of shows about this idea of heaven and hell being parallel dimensions to our own, being connected according to the string theorists and the scientists of our day, although they won't use again the term heaven or hell, but they talk about these parallel dimensions, that they are connected and that they're actually energy that passes between those other dimensions and our own. And that they suggest that there are actually creatures, entities, living in those, but they're not material bodies like our own. Again, like, I am just astounded that they're describing the spiritual realm and the physical realm, but they won't touch on this idea that it's the spiritual realm. They just kind of navigate right around that. They talk about membranes instead of veils. They talk about this primordial substance they call firmament that had no form and that it's created by vibration. And the vibration, they don't mention that it's the Word of God. And that something moved this into pattern. They talk about the laws of physics, that they want to believe that there's these laws that, and they're just trying to figure out what these laws are and how they work. And they're finally deciding that there are these extra dimensions and involving time as 11th dimension. And they're calculating this all up so that they know that the laws of physics apply to all these realms that we interact with. But the law of God is all they really need. Now, it's fine that they study these things. I don't have, but they focus on that and miss the simplicity of our existence. That we exist as spiritual creatures that think, therefore they are. It's not that they think, they are aware, so therefore they are. Just thinking, a lot of people, did you ever watch a show on TV and then afterwards you can't remember what it was you just watched? Where'd you go? Where were you when you were watching? Did you ever read a page? You're down reading a book and all of a sudden you realize, I don't remember a thing I read. I was daydreaming while I was reading. How much don't we see? A lot of people are very frustrated when they try to explain the kingdom and some of these basic, simple precepts of not coveting your neighbor's goods and that we've been deceived, and or even go and try to explain people about money systems and contracts and covenants and constitutions, and they are just oblivious to it. They don't have eyes to see in the realm that you have that knowledge from. They don't. But as we read, there will be a tearing away of the veil. The thing which has covered all the nations, spread over all the nations, that they will see whether they want to or not. And I tell you, that will be very hard on people who have not begun to see already. You need to begin to see and act upon what you see. You need to seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And you need to do that with other people in a gregarious manner. 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. That love of sacrifice and service is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. You knoweth God as you act upon what He gives you. It is the law. It is the law of physics. And it is the law of spirit. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. Bless God for the congregation you get. Even if they are a little off the wall at times, even if they're a little strange, even if they have some quirks that require constant forgiveness, thank God for them, because now you get to be like God. He's going to let you walk a mile in His shoes and deal with people that He has had to deal with since Adam and Eve. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us. We must also have that love of God in us towards others. Because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him, we need to be in the world that others might live through us. Not feed upon us, not we feed upon them, but love and truth. and in spirit. Herein is love, that we love God, but that he loved us. Not that we love God, but that he loved us. And sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word, we need to do a study on that, but we don't have time right now. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. There's your instructions. That's the law. In that, there is the fulfilling of the law. That's in John, but Paul was saying the same thing. 1 John 4:12. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and him and his love is perfected in us. But we have to actually be doing that love. And we see the economy in bad shape. We see politics going strange on us in the world today. We see GMOs. We see health problems, and we see around every corner. Why wouldn't we gather together to help others? Don't you think others will need help? Why not create a network of love? Just on love, not based on your theology or your right doctrine. Yeah, from those who are backbiters and liars and betrayers. Yeah, stay away from those guys. But if they're trying to love, you know, try to gather with them. And make that gathering not just your local congregation that makes you feel good, but a national and international network of congregations. Because we live in a membrane. We live in a universe that is connected all around the world. And everyone who really seeks the love of God and the ways of God and the name of Christ, the real name of Christ, which is the character of Christ, is connected. At the beginning of these shows on the veil, I said that every atom and molecule in your body is connected to every single atom and molecule in the sun, as well as throughout the universe and all the other planets. I use the sun simply because the fact that it's the big body in this solar system. But it's connected to this gravitational pull. We're all being pulled towards the sun, but we're also spinning on the planet, which keeps us away. If the planet stopped spinning, we would go crashing towards the sun because gravity would start pulling us down towards the sun. But we're hurled in this orbit so that we just stay out here at this distance. Because there's a connection all the way over there to the sun. Do you think there's a connection between you and other Christians? A spiritual arcing and connection between you and them? We talked in several shows back about collective consciousness and collective unconsciousness. If you have the consciousness of Christ, some call it the Christ consciousness. But I mean Christ living in you. The Spirit of Christ living in you. There's a connection between you and them through the kingdom of heaven. Mysterious connection between you and them through the kingdom of heaven. And it's a good clean connection because it goes through the pure light of God. It goes through his realm, his dominion, his dimension. But if you are making connections with liars and backbiters and deceivers, well, you're going to have another connection. And it's not going to be such a pure connection. And you'll have disease. And you'll have difficulties. And we have those things now, and they are often to awaken us to our failings. But we could be healed. In the day that we humble ourselves before God to get his understanding, And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son and the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Does God dwell in you like it dwelled in Jesus? First John 4:16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. So with all these things on the horizon, all these things happening now in our world, are we coming together? Are we being one people? Are we organizing ourselves so that we do not lose track of anybody? Consider yourself if you went down in a ship out to sea. The ship sunk out of sight and you couldn't see it anywhere. There was debris around. Maybe there was a few boats around even, but most of them were full. Would you swim away from the boats or to the boats? Would you gather together with others? Or would you say, oh, there's people over there. I don't want to be with those people. Let's go swim away. I think you would swim towards others, seeking others. Let's face this together. Let's gather together. How do you confess Jesus? Luke 1:79, it says, to give light to them that sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. Are you a light to others? If your light is dim, would you not bring two candles to light the way so that you can find your way in the darkness, so that others may find the way? Over here, over here. Come, gather with us in the love of Christ. And you'll get people that will come and they think this way. And you'll get people that come and they think that way. Kingdom of heaven is within you. And the more that burns brightly, the more others who love the light will come and gather with you. I'm out here in the wilderness because I don't want you. I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Why was John the Baptist in the wilderness? People had to go way out there to see him. And I got to get back to work tomorrow. Why? Because they didn't want him gathering around John. They wanted him creating a network back in the cities, back in Jerusalem, so that when Jerusalem was destroyed, they would have a network all over the known world that could absorb and bring them in and find a place and be their salvation. Because in that network lived Christ in the hearts and minds and souls of everyone. And that's what we need to do. Because we face the same destruction. And because we want to be like Christ. We want to love one another. Gather where you are. Find others where you are. Gather them. Greet them. Meet them. Talk with them. Let God reveal to you the ways of the kingdom. We'll talk about those ways and you'll say, oh my gosh, I'm not doing that. I'm doing the antithesis of that. Oh my gosh, I repent. I am sorry. I am going to seek to do the right thing from now on. Great. That's it. I'm going to do the right things by others. But there are no others with me. I'm going to have to go out and find the others. You should see lost sheep in the field. When all of a sudden they realize the other sheep are gone. Their heads go up as high as they can. And they wait a minute and they look and they can't see and then they make a noise, hoping somebody will answer them. And I've seen it where all of a sudden somebody answers them down the other side of the hill and they take off running to get back to the others. Are you running to gather with others? Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in thee be not darkness. If thy whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, the whole shall be full of light, and when the bright shining of the candle doth give thee light. That's what you need, is the whole body. And this is why we point out this idea of coveting thy neighbor's goods through socialism. Socialism is, again, the symptom. If you have any part of the socialist state, that is letting you know that you are in that situation because the light was not in every part of your body. How do you get it in there? Start becoming the unsocialist state. Start caring for one another. Start taking care of others. You say, well, there's nobody in my area. Yes, there is. You just haven't found them yet. They're out there. They're around. And what is your area anyway? Is it within 20 feet of you? Within 20 miles of you? Within 200 miles of you? Wherever they are, gather with them. By phone. Once a month, maybe, in a coffee shop halfway in between. But do something to gather more, to find others between you and there. Seek them. Find out what the kingdom looks like so that you will know it when you see it and you reject it when it's not of the kingdom. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We are not to hide. We are to find. We are to build that city to be a beacon to other men. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and glorify the Father which is in heaven. In order to do that, we need more hands. We need them to come with their sleeves rolled up. We need them to be a part of what we are doing so that we may be a part of what they are doing, and pray that what we do together is of Christ. And if it is not, rebuke one another. As many as I love, I also rebuke. That's what Christ says. That's what we should be doing. The light of the body is in the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Don't just think about yourself. Think about Christ's way and kingdom in everything that you do. But if thy eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Let's turn around together. Let's work towards the kingdom. Let's gather together with others. Let's seek and find them. We're on another radio station, on KKVV in Las Vegas. And hopefully we'll get on other stations in your area if you work together with those on the Living Network. And we will continue to expand our listening audience, but we want to expand the doers of His Word. Because there is salvation. Not those who just listen, not those who just say, but those who doeth the Word, work of the Father. In the ways of the Father. Remember in Luke 15:8, it says, either what woman having a 10 piece of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle to keep that, to sweep that house and seek diligently till she find it? The treasure of the kingdom are those lost souls out there in the world who would follow the ways of Christ if they heard them. We have lost them. We have gone astray from them and them from us. We need to seek them. We need to find them. We need to spend the time and energy to find them. And we've talked about this recently on the network, and there are people becoming more and more proficient at ways in which to do this, and I'm sure that many of you can come up with more ideas, but that's what we need to do. We're not creating our church, we're creating His church, but that doesn't mean that we do not gather together. We need to gather together and know who is with us and who is not. And be a blessing to all, but we need to know, we need to bear witness one of each other. We're coming on hard times where the ship is going down. We are going to be set afloat, and many have not made it to the rock. So we need to gather together and work together to get to that rock. And God will come out and meet us halfway. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehend it not. If you are going to comprehend it, you need to bear witness of that light. And that's what it says. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through Him might believe. And we need to bear witness of the light, if He is in us. And that was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. That's where we need to be, in that light. So that there be no realm that we be afraid to go into. I mean, Jesus supposedly ascended into hell. He went down there to those lower realms. Didn't Moses go back to Egypt after he was out and living a fairly good life somewhere else, prosperous? He went back to Egypt to get others. Do we have that spirit to go back and get others? I told the story about the lamb that was attacked by the bobcat and injured, and other sheep stayed with him. They couldn't bandage his wounds. They couldn't lick his sores. They don't do that. But they did not abandon him. And he got better. And he stays with the whole herd, and they all stay with the whole herd. And that is a good spirit to see in your flock. That's rare. Now, if I could see that amongst the men and women of our congregations, can they work together? Can they strive together? Can they build together? Not for me, but for Christ, so that Christ may live and dwell in them, because they have a spirit that is compatible with Christ. In that process, more light will come in, and you will see the dark corners of your own heart. But that is good, because now you can clean them. You can clean a room in the dark quickly. But when you turn the lights on, oh my goodness, there was more cleaning than you thought. And that is the way it is with us. We have many dimensions to our own selves. And so we have to realize that this is a spiritual journey in a physical world. And there are physical repercussions that challenge the laws of physics, the laws of dimensions. There is a war afoot between light and darkness, but darkness has no chance. The outcome is already determined. The question is, what side of that outcome will you be on? On the side of the Lord or the side of darkness? If you give your light to others, God will give you light more abundant. If you fold up your light in a napkin, no one will see it, and darkness will be upon you. Until we meet again, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.